Now, a lot of people ask me in the Czech Republic, why are you here? A lot of people in America ask me, why are you there? And why do I do what I do? And the only explanation I have is it's God has called us there. I remember when I was in college, I went to Liberty University, and my missions professor, who is still my missions mentor, he said, only those who are called to the mission field will stay on the mission field. And after being there, I now know what he meant by that. You won't stay unless you're called. And but, you know, many people ask us, you know, that still doesn't make sense to Czech people. You know, God called us here. We're like, well, I don't believe in God, so give me something that I can relate with, and give me something that clicks in my mind that helps me understand why you're here. And, you know, they want to know why I would take my wife and four kids and leave living in America where they want to live to come and live there where they don't want to live. And my answer is in the scriptures, once again, because there's no explanation why somebody would want to do that. But for us to understand why people should want to do that and why every person in this room should want to do that, we should look to the scriptures. Because in the scriptures, we find the answer. And, you know, it's like a surgeon who has a patient who's very ill and who is sick and has pain, and they don't really know what the problem is, and the doctor doesn't know what the problem is, finally decides, okay, we are going to do an exploratory surgery because we need to find the heart of the problem. We need to find the root cause of your ailment. And so he does his exploratory surgery in order to find the heart of the problem so he can know as a doctor how to assess the problem and how to help the person. As Christians, it's important for us to search the scriptures to understand and to know the heart and mind of God. And that's really what I want to focus on tonight, is not why I'm in the Czech Republic, but to understand the heart of God and why He wants people in the Czech Republic, and to understand why He wants to use you for His glory. And as Christians, when we understand the heart of God, when we understand the heart of the Bible, what the Bible is all about, it's only then that we can truly understand and make sense of why God would call people to the Czech Republic, why God would have someone to live overseas. And maybe you know people at work. Maybe some of them are Christians, maybe some are not Christians. But if they were to ask you the question, what is the Bible all about? Why did God write the Bible? Why do you go to church? You know, what would you say? And if you were to ask them those questions, what would they say? You know, most people, they don't really have a clue too much about as far as what is the Bible about. But as Christians, we should be able to say very clearly what the Bible's about, what the Christian life is all about. And that's really what we want to look at tonight, is what the Christian life is all about. What is the heart of God, and what is the heart message of the Bible? And to find this answer as to what the heart message of the Bible is, which is truly the heart of God, we need to look into the heart of our Bible. Because I believe in the heart of our Bible is the heart message of the Bible, where we can clearly see the heart of God. And this, sorry, there's something here. In the middle of our Bible is the answer. It's the shortest chapter in the Bible, the middle chapter of the Bible, but it's a powerful chapter and a very, very clear picture of the heart of God and a very clear picture of the heart message of the Bible and what the Christian life is truly all about. In fact, in this psalm, is packed an enormous truth. There's many titles we could give this psalm. Some of it's called the beauty of brevity. Charles Spurgeon once said, "This psalm, which is very little in its letter, is exceedingly large in its spirit. For bursting beyond all bounds of race or nationality, it calls upon all man to praise the name of the Lord." And Martin Luther said, "This is a prophecy concerning Christ, that all peoples out of all kingdoms and islands shall know Christ and His kingdom." And one pastor, Graham Scroggie, described this psalm as the doxology of Israel. And if you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 117, we will see the heart message of the Bible. And there lies the heart of God. Let's read this psalm together. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud Him, all peoples. For His loving kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Now you're thinking, wow, well, okay. I mean, there's two verses there, but where do you see the heart message of the Bible? Where do you see the heart of God in this passage? Well, in order to really understand this, it's important that we understand the context in which this psalm sets. Because this psalm is part of a group of psalms known as the Egyptian Hallel. The word Hallel is a Hebrew word which means to praise. And it's the word from which we get the word hallelujah. And Psalm 113 through 118 makes up this group of psalms. In fact, Psalm 113 and 114 were sung before the Passover meal. And this group of psalms were sung during the Passover feast. They were sung at the Feast of Pentecost and of Tabernacles. But Psalms 113 and 114 were sung before the Passover meal. Remember, Jesus had the Last Supper with His disciples. That was the Passover meal. So before they had their meal, they would sing Psalm 113, 114. And then after the meal, they would sing Psalms 115 to 118. And it's very likely that Psalm 118 was the last psalm that Jesus and His disciples sung after they celebrated the Lord's Supper, which we call the Lord's Supper, and He went to the Garden of Gethsemane where He was betrayed and arrested. But Psalm 117 is unique. Psalm 117 is different than all of the psalms in this group because all of the other psalms in this group are directed towards the nation of Israel, towards God's covenant people. But Psalm 117 is different. And that's the psalm that we want to focus on tonight. Because here in Psalm 117, we see the heart of God. We see the heart message of the Bible. And we see this in verse 1, and that the psalmist here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, we see here a universal call to praise. Psalm 113, 114, 115, 116, 118, all directed towards Israel. Psalm 117 is universal. It says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Laud Him, all you peoples. This is the only psalm here in this group that is directed to people beyond Israel. I was in Israel 4 days ago and saw very clear evidence how God has chosen His people, how God has blessed His people, how He had truly led them to a land flowing with milk and honey. We were there, I mean, there were in the desert, there are fruit trees. You know, there's vineyards. It's unbelievable. It's truly a land overflowing with God's blessing. And God called these people to Himself, called them to His land, called them to Jerusalem, where He said He would make His name great, where He would make His name known among the nations. But God, His focus was not just to save Israel. His focus was not just to bring them to the promised land and they would live happily ever after. No, back in Genesis, God told Abraham that He would, through his descendants, bring blessing upon all nations. So even in the first book of the Bible, we can see that God's focus was not just on the nation of Israel, but it was all peoples. And here in this psalm, we can see that God's heart, God's mind, God's focus is not just to save Israel. It's not just that Israel would praise Him. I mean, many times in the Old Testament, we can see how God blessed Israel for their obedience and how God brought cursings upon Israel for their disobedience. We can see how they were led into captivity for 70 years and how they suffered and how they were persecuted and how they were defeated in battles, all because of their disobedience. And then we can see how God blessed them and brought them back into the land. And even today, Israel is a country. It exists. And we can see that God has a future for them. But God doesn't just have a future for Israel. And so this psalm, part of this group of the Egyptian Hallel, this group of Psalms 113 to 118, was very important for the people to observe, to remember, and to sing. Because it taught them, it reminded them, that God just wasn't concerned about the Jews. God didn't just love Israel. God loves all people. And just as I mentioned, a lot of the Czechs, they don't like to read gypsies. Well, God loves the gypsies. God's focus isn't just for us to go there and to reach Czechs. God's heart is for us to reach all people. In fact, that's what he says here. He says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations." Some translations say Gentiles. And the word "praise the Lord" here is the word "hallelujah." It's from the word where we get the word "hallelujah," and it's a command. It's something that God commands. God here is calling upon all nations to praise him. All nations upon the earth. And it wasn't just something that that those who were saved from all nations were to do. God says, "Praise him, all praise the Lord, all ye nations." Now, what did the other nations do around Israel at this time? As we know, they worshipped idols. They worshipped pagan deities. They worshipped everything but Jehovah God. In fact, when Israel was led out of Egypt, what did God say? He did this in that all the Egyptians could see that the Lord, Jehovah, is God. And all throughout the Old Testament, we can see that God's focus is not just Israel, but it's all nations. God's heart for your church isn't just that you will reach Hickman, California. No, it's all nations. It's all people across the globe. And so, you know, when churches are just focused upon, you know, their daily ministry, their prayer breakfasts, you know, their Monday night basketball, their youth groups, God's not satisfied with that. Because God sees beyond your church, he sees beyond your town, he sees beyond your state, he sees beyond your country. And that's why Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, to proclaim the gospel not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. God's heart is for all people. In the next phrase, he says, "Laud him, all ye peoples." And here, this is emphatic in Hebrew. When something is repeated in Hebrew, it's for emphasis. Sometimes in English, we might yell. But in Hebrew, they repeat things. You know, when God says, "Moses, Moses," he's calling Moses. You listen. And here, God says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Laud him, all you peoples." And so here God is calling all the peoples of the earth, all nations, to praise him. Here we have a universal call to praise. And this is something that Israel was to sing. This is what Israel sang at the Passover. They sang about how all the nations, all the peoples of the earth are to praise the Lord. And so here in Psalm 117, we have a very missiological psalm. We can see missions in the Old Testament. We can see that God's heart was beyond Israel. In fact, the word here, laud him, is a word that means to glorify him, to extol him, to make exuberant statements about his excellent name. And the psalmist here, he's calling for an all-out exaltation of God. A holy worship of Creator God, the God of Israel. And he uses these words to express how important it is and how the people are to praise him. They're to praise him, they're to delight in God, and they're to exalt him, they're to laud him, they're to glorify him, they're to make exuberant statements about his marvelous name. It's an all-out worship. And the Apostle Paul quotes from this psalm in Romans chapter 15, verse 11, where he says, "Again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him." So it's important that we understand that when we are proclaiming the gospel, it is for all people. And as I said, the Lord already told Abraham this in Genesis chapter 12, or in verse 3, he says, "And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." In Galatians 3:8, Apostle Paul wrote, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. All throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we can see the heart of God. The heart of God is that all the peoples, all the families of the earth, all the nations of the earth will be united together in praise of Jehovah God, our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. That is the heart of God. That is the heart message of the Bible, that all the peoples will worship Him. God is a missiological God. God is a God who loves all peoples, who died for all peoples. And that's why, people like to quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world, nebot Bůh tak miloval svět, že dal svého jediného syna, aby žádný, kdo v něho věří, ale nezahynul, ale měl věčný život. God loves all people. And it's our role, it's our call to take the gospel to such people. And if we neglect calling all peoples to praise our God, we are neglecting the Great Commission. The Great Commission just isn't about going to another land and telling people they need Jesus. No, it's the ultimate goal in somebody getting saved is to worship God. The Christian life is a life of worship. And if we aren't worshiping God, then what are we doing? We're worshiping ourselves. And when we neglect worship, we neglect God, because God has called people to worship Him. That's why the temple was in Jerusalem. People would come there to worship God. People would come there to offer sacrifices of their sins and come there to worship Him. And today, as people who are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're a temple. We are a worship center. Our bodies are the place where we worship. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And if we're not worshiping God in our lives, if we're not worshiping God in our lives daily, then what are we doing when we come together on Sundays? You know, do we just worship God on Sunday when we come together? No. Sunday is an overflow of our worship that takes place throughout the week. For all of us as believers, Sunday is the peak, is the climax of our worship, when we come together as believers and we unite together in praise. And in this psalm, when God says, praise the Lord, all you nations, laud Him, all you peoples, it's calling all the peoples of the earth together to come and worship and to praise the Lord. That's what this psalm is all about. And that's what the Bible is all about, calling all peoples to praise and worship God. And that's what we are to do in the Czech Republic. That's why we're in the Czech Republic. We are there to call people to worship Him. That's why we're there, for no other reason. We're there so that people will glorify God as they worship Him. Some people say, well, that kind of sounds kind of selfish, doesn't it? That God just calls all people to worship Him as though He's just something special. I mean, I've heard people make these type of statements. And I say, look, you don't understand God, and you don't understand worship, and you don't understand man. Because worship, when we worship God, it's not selfish. It's not selfish of God just to say, come worship me. Because God created us to worship Him. That's how He designed us. And when we don't worship God, we're not functioning properly as God has created us. I like how C.S. Lewis speaks about this psalm, in his book, Reflections on the Psalms. And on this psalm, he has a pretty interesting quote here. He says he thought of praise in the sense of, you know, when you praise something, you give it compliment or approval. You give honor to it, right? When we praise God, we give praise and honor to His name. And he says, if you think about it, he says, the world rings with praise lovers. He says, praising their mistresses, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, people praise the weather, wines, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, even sometimes politicians or scholars, he says. And he says, And I had not noticed either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. Is that not true? You know, he says, don't they, people say, isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that is magnificent? I mean, that's how we live our lives. We praise things. The question is, are we praising God? Lewis goes on. He says, the psalmist, in telling everyone here to praise God, is doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. He said, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses our joy, but it completes our joy. He said, it is its appointed consummation. In other words, what we value, we praise. What we praise, we enjoy. And when we praise something, that is the climax of our joy. For example, when a child gets a new toy, like if I buy my son a toy, I know what he's going to do when he gets home. He's going to go, like if I buy Jacob a toy, he'll go home, Jordan, look what Dad bought me. Mom, look what Dad bought me. He bought me this new toy, this new car. Why? Why does he do that? Because that is part of his joy. That's the climax of his joy, right? Because after that, everything's downhill. You know, and the next week, I find the thing in the back of his closet somewhere. You know, it's over. It's old. But, you know, it's like when you buy a new car. You don't bring it home, park it in your garage. Don't tell your wife. Don't tell your neighbor. No, you say, wow, look at, you say, come, look, see, I got a new car. Look inside. It's amazing. It's a beautiful interior. You know, you want people to participate with you in your joy. You want people to participate with you in praising whatever it is. And that's natural because that's how God created us. But he ultimately created us to praise him. So when he calls us to, when he calls all peoples and all nations to praise him, he's calling them to do what he created them to do, to praise him. And not only does he receive the glory, but they receive the greatest joy that a human can possibly experience. Ultimate satisfaction in their Redeemer and their God. I mean, what is my favorite time of the week? Sunday church. You know, when we're singing and worshiping and praising God together, worshiping around the Word, worshiping God through the preaching, through fellowship. That is my favorite time of the week. Honestly, there's nothing I would rather do on a Sunday morning than to be with God's people and praising him. Because that is how God has created us. And that is what we're to do. That is our mission. We're to call all the peoples of the earth, all the nations, to praise God. The question is how are you and I doing in our daily worship? It should be evident. I mean, it should be natural for us to say, praise the Lord. I remember one time I was in a grocery store in the Czech Republic, and I was, and there you, when you buy fruit, you have to take it to this counter, and they weigh it for you, put a sticker on, and then when you take it up front, they just scan it. And I was standing in this line, and I heard this guy say, Chvala Bohu. And I turned around. He said, praise God. I thought, wow, I've never heard anybody say praise God before. And I look around, and it was a worker. And he was talking to somebody. I don't know what they were talking about, but when he said praise God, it instantly caught my attention. And I thought, wow, you know, I don't even hear Czech believers saying praise God. Honestly, I don't. Maybe in a worship service or something, but very rare do you hear people say praise God, praise the Lord. But that should be our natural expression. That should be our natural response to things. When we see how God blesses or something, it should be our natural response to praise God. And that's something we try to teach our children, you know, when they receive something or God blesses in some way, to say, look, praise the Lord. It is from him. Because that's what God has called us to do, to praise him. And in verse 2, we see the reason or the cause of our praise. The reason for this praise that God is calling all the world to do, as he calls them to praise him, it says, for his, I'll read, I have two translations here. For his loving kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. So why do we praise God? Well, the psalmist tells us, because his loving kindness is great toward us. This could also be translated, for his mercy is great toward us. Now, God, by nature, is a merciful God. It is God's nature to be merciful. In fact, God described himself in Exodus 34:6, when he said to Moses, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed," God is speaking here, "the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness," or loving kindness, "and truth." So what is the very first word that God used in Exodus 34:6 to describe himself? The very first word, merciful. God is merciful. He's merciful in that he even allows us to live. You know, so many times I thought, you know, if I was God, I would do this to this person. I would wipe this guy out. But praise God, I'm not God, right? Praise God, you're not God. I'm thankful you're not God. And you're thankful I'm not God, because we're not very merciful people. And we can't even fathom God's mercy. We can't even begin to comprehend his mercy. You know, Titus, I think it's chapter 3:2, it says, God has saved us by his mercy. Not only by his grace, but by his mercy. He saved us. And mercy is a reflection of God's love. God is merciful because God loves us. And so, why should people praise God? Because he's merciful. Because he has mercifully saved us. He has mercifully sent his Son, who he crucified on a cross, whose blood dripped for you and I, whose life was shed, slaughtered like an animal for you and I, because of God's mercy. God poured out his wrath upon his Son for you and I. God treated Christ like he lived your life. God has been merciful to you. God has been merciful to me. And therefore, our natural response, praise the Lord. The second reason why all the nations should praise him, all the people should praise him, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Now, the word truth in Hebrew can mean true or it can mean faithful. I personally believe, as some translations translate this, faithful, because it's describing God's character. God is merciful and God is faithful. God is a faithful God. In fact, Lamentations describes God's faithfulness as great. Great is thy faithfulness. And God is faithful. God never changes. God always keeps his word. What God promises happens. Titus 1:2 says God cannot lie. And so when God speaks to us through his word, we can trust it because he's faithful. And his word is faithful. His word never changes. And so as believers, we should rejoice in God's faithfulness. We should glory and bask in his faithfulness. How many people in the world are faithful? How many people do you know who are faithful? How many believers do you know who are faithful, who you can always trust, who you can always count on? Nobody. I mean, nobody is perfectly faithful. Nobody is perfectly trustworthy. Nobody is perfectly consistent, but our God is. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is always faithful. And so that's why the psalmist says that, praise the Lord, all you nations, laud him, all you peoples, because our God is merciful, our God is faithful. And how does he end the psalm? Praise the Lord. That's in Hebrew. The phrase praise the Lord is the word hallelujah. So, and you could write next to the phrase there, praise the Lord, you could just write hallelujah, because that's the Hebrew word. We are to praise the Lord. So the psalmist begins this psalm by saying praise the Lord, and he ends this psalm by saying praise the Lord. As he reflects upon God's mercy, as he reflects upon God's faithfulness, all he can do is say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I hope that you and I are praising the Lord every day. I hope that we never forget God's faithfulness. I hope we never forget how merciful God has been to you and I. You know, every time we hear of how God has saved somebody or spared somebody in a car accident or healed somebody or done something, we should instantly praise Him for His mercy towards that person, for His faithfulness to His Word. And as believers, it is Christ that we are to proclaim. It is His name we are to carry to the ends of the earth. We are to go calling all the peoples, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, because that is the gospel. Praise the Lord. We're to call all peoples to worship Him. And it's the only message that can bring joy to all people. So if we really want to see people happy, if we want to see people removed from their miserable situation, it can't happen apart from Christ. It can't happen apart from the gospel. It can't happen apart from God, because God has created us to be completely satisfied in Him, to be completely content in Him. He is to be our source of joy. He is to be our joy, source of contentment. And He is to be our ultimate satisfaction. That's why John MacArthur's, I think, so well known for a lot of his books, where he emphasizes over and over again, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. So, that is the heart of God. That is the heart message of the Bible, that we are to call all peoples, all nations, to praise Him. And I pray that that describes your life. I pray that describes your church. I pray that that is the mission of this church, is to see all the peoples of the world united in praise of our Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it can't happen apart from people being willing to go and to sacrifice and to lay down their lives for the cause of Christ, for the gospel, so that people can hear their need for a Savior, so people can see their sinfulness, see the holiness of God, and see the salvation that is available only in Jesus Christ. And as they bow the knee in repentance by placing their faith in Christ and are saved, then and only then can they begin to worship Him. And that's why we must go. That's why we must send people to the ends of the earth. That's why we must be fervent in prayer. And that's why we are not to only be focused upon our community, but all peoples and all nations around the earth, because that is the heart of God. And if we neglect missions, we abandon the heart of God. That's why this psalm is so important. That's why it is so important to understand what this psalmist was communicating in this group of psalms that were sung on Passover. Because what did they celebrate on Passover? God's redemption, God's deliverance from Egypt. They celebrated the salvation that God provided them from Egypt. But in the middle of it, Psalm 117, the whole world. That's the heart of God. Let's pray. God, we thank You for this day that we can come together and look into Your Word. We thank You for this psalm. Lord, though it's tiny in its content, it's mighty in its message. God, though it may be the shortest psalm in the Bible, it contains, in the shortest chapter of the Bible, God, it contains the greatest truth in all of Scripture, as it contains Your heart, Your desire for all nations and all peoples to praise You. And God, we want to praise You every day in our life. Lord, we don't want to be just people who show up on Sunday and then try to praise You, because we know that's impossible. We can't just show up and expect to praise You. We have to be praising You every day. Because if we're not praising You every day, we can't just show up on Sunday, God, and somehow try to praise You. And Lord, we pray that not only would we praise You every day, but Lord, we would be focused on trying to get other people to praise You as we seek to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth, calling all people to bow the knee to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to surrender their lives to Him, and ultimately to worship You. And God, just pray for this church. I pray that Your blessing upon it, God. I pray that You give them wisdom, Lord. It's encouraging to hear about how they're developing their missions program. and focus, Lord, of how they can carry your truth, your message to the end of the earth. And God, I pray that you would just grant them wisdom and vision, God. And I pray that you would even call people out of this church, Lord, to carry your message to a foreign land, to a place, God, where there are no churches, a place where there's no gospel, a place where people have never heard the name of Jesus. And God, and I just pray that you would guide us according to your will, and I pray that we would live lives, God, that give you glory, and then exalt the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.